Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Jill Schlesinger is joining us live from Jill on Money, and we're waiting to hear about school districts in New York State, whether they can reopen and how they will reopen this fall. Colleges is another story. They're making their plans individually. Jill, I've got two kids in college, a junior and senior, and the bottom line is uncertainty is the rule here going forward. It's crazy.
Well, now that I have you on the phone, let me turn this around and interview you. So how do you feel? Did the kids do remote learning
They did.
And how'd they do with it?
They did fine with it. They weren't big fans of it, obviously. They didn't like coming home. They both go away to school. Didn't really like that. They want to go back. They're both hearing from their schools that there will be a mix of in-person and remote learning.
So does that, I mean, in my mind, that makes me, if I were a parent, and you know I only have four-legged children, but if I were a parent, I would be rethinking, well, what's that worth to me? And what I found astounding is that your kids' experience is often jibing with a lot of things we're hearing all over the country, and that is that there's going to be a mix of online and in-class learning depending on where your kids are going to school. And if that's the case, then should there be an adjustment to tuition? Should there be an adjustment to the way that families are thinking about college? And there, I'm hearing a ton of kids who are saying, oh, I want to take a gap year. And I'm like, well, don't do that if you're going to do nothing. You know, there's not a lot to do and there's a tough job market out there. I think that this moment in time once again brings up this idea that college is just so expensive that families should really be considering, is it worth the cost? And institutions of higher education should be considering, how can we expand the pool at a very low cost? And I think that that's the hopefully the good part of the learning online, that maybe you can expand your enrollment and maybe you can get more kids the experience of, at least not the full experience, but more of the experience of college life.
You know, after paying for college myself for a number of years, even before all of this, I would say, I don't think it's worth it if I had to do it again. I don't know if I'd want to be paying all these bills every single month for what you get out of it and knowing what I did in college. Now that everything's basically a YouTube video, I would especially be weary.
Well, I think what's strange is to consider this. Because of where we are in the employment landscape, a college degree still does pay off in terms of lifetime earnings. There's no doubt about that. But the question you would might ask yourself as, you know, sort of your how old are you, Brian? Oh, my God. Like your 30-year-old self looking back at your college self, that you would ask yourself, would I have done just as well with, you know, an online class and maybe go to like a smaller seminar if I had to for like my senior year, whatever combination it is, and then only have much lower amounts of debt? And I think that that's the key issue here, is that there are families that can afford this and they're going to pay up. That's fine. But for people who are coming out of school, the experience of college is more than, you know, going to the kegger. It may be like having a great interaction with a professor or learning from your classmates. All of that is true, but it comes at such a high cost. And I think that the idea of carrying debt for decades in the future is so debilitating for many college graduates and their families.
It's a great point. And, you know, there's other things too. Like my daughter was just telling me on Friday that they are telling them that there will be no visitors allowed in dorm rooms. Now, that just seems to me to be impractical in many ways. But, I mean, things like that, it's going to be a totally different experience for these kids.
Right. And I guess the other question, of course, is that, you know, what you're really paying for that experience is really critical. I mean, at some point, we have to rethink our college experiences, and we have to figure out, what does this labor force need? It doesn't need just a degree that says, you know, Jill Schlesinger went to University of Buffalo and she graduated with high honors. What does that mean to an employer? Because honestly, if employers are saying, hey, you know what, we're going to start Apple School and we're going to start training our own engineers and we don't really care about you going to college, that might really change the entire higher education landscape. That now all of a sudden, that instead of somebody saying, I got to pay up for a big college education, I won't. I don't know how many colleges are going to survive. We see a lot of small institutions under great pressure right now. And there could be a bunch of college and small college and university failures if something doesn't change soon.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting how COVID might accelerate that process that might have been already going on. You know, Jill, it seems like every week we ask you about the same thing because, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I just have this sense of impending bad. Yeah, I didn't want to say that word, but as we get closer and closer to, you know, this deadline, whether it's the enhanced unemployment, you know, rent forgiveness, that's been extended in a number of states, but all these things kind of coming to a head, you know, in August at some point, just every single week, how much closer are we getting to an answer of how we're going to continue?
I don't know. If I told you, let's wind the clock back. Let's go to the end of March. Let's go back to March. March 23rd, U.S. stocks were at a pretty low level. We had lopped off about a third of the S&P 500, right? And if I told you back in March when I was, you know, coming on the air and saying, everyone stick to your game plan, please don't change anything, everyone rolled their eyes and they're freaking out and all that. If I told you that the S&P 500 would only be down 1.5% this year in the middle of the year, you would have said, that's crazy, that's impossible. That's where we are. And by the way, the NASDAQ composite is up 18% this year. So why is this happening? Because you're right, the economy is teetering right now. We don't know we don't have a lot of the data. So we're actually in a little bit of a blackout right now, data-wise. But what we do know is that the country is going to start to close down again in certain parts. We know that the reopening is slowed down, and we know that the economy is slowing down. The question is, why are stocks going up? And the answer is that investors, big investors, believe that there are going to be some huge winners from the COVID period, obviously the technology companies first and foremost. But there also is a belief that Congress will get its act together, there will be more stimulus, and the Federal Reserve will keep pumping money into the economy. And you know, if that were to happen, maybe the investment community is right. But maybe it's not. And so that's what I would say is, as much as I would want to caution you at the bottom from getting freaked out and saying, I'm going to try to guess what the next move is, here you are. The market has come roaring back. Doesn't mean you should pile into stocks, but it also does mean that you shouldn't think that the bottom is going to fall out. It may not. You're a long-term investor. Stick to your game plan.
I mean, to me, it says confidence on the minds of investors, right?
Right. And you know, someone pointed out to me that there, you know, we've talked about V-shaped recoveries, W recoveries, L-shaped recoveries, U-shaped recoveries. Someone said to me, what if we have a K-shaped recovery where some people who are white-collar workers who can work from home and are doing fine, they see their fortunes rise. And there are other folks out there who are really struggling, who are laid off, who never get reemployed. Those are the bottom part of the K. Their fortunes drop. So a K-shaped recovery would just be a blowout of the income and wealth inequality of this country. And maybe that's what the investment community is saying, is like, we don't really care. I know that sounds terrible, like from a moral point of view, but as an investor, we don't care about that moral abyss that we are throwing ourselves into.
Jill, as always, thank you. It's Jill Schlesinger, Jill on Money, joining us live every Monday morning. Hear her entire show here live every weekend on WBEN.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.